Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
This has been a very volatile start to the year of the rat for most ASEAN markets, and we've seen losses ranging from Manila out to Bangkok and even out in Malaysia. In fact, the KLCI index in Kuala Lumpur currently down about 2.5%, give or take, since the start of the year. Now, a lot of this volatility happened on the back of fluctuations in commodity prices, concerns about trade issues, and now we also have to deal with a recent outbreak of the Wuhan virus that has also spread not just here in Singapore but also out in Malaysia. And this has compounded losses and the headwinds felt by many equity markets around the region. On Across the ASEAN today, we'd like to get the point of view from Kuala Lumpur. And today we are joined by Mr. Vincent Koo, who's the head of research of UOB Kay Hian Malaysia. And he's here to share their recent outlook on what's been on the developments and how they're shaping market sentiment. Vincent, thank you so much for joining us. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
All right. So, Vincent, as we mentioned, very tough start to the year for ASEAN markets, and Malaysia's markets also no exception to that. What is UOB Kay Hian's outlook now for Malaysian markets in 2020? And have the new recent new macro risks, such as this very worrisome coronavirus that's been spreading, not just in Singapore, but also a few cases in Malaysia, how has this impacted your investment thesis?
Okay, before I address this issue on the Wuhan virus, I just want to highlight that if you brush aside any concerns on the domestic politics, especially the power handover issue and the Wuhan coronavirus, the remaining stock market fundamentals for Malaysia is actually supportive for a modest recovery for FBM KLCI, the index, and large cap stocks. The improved fundamentals would include, most importantly, decent visibility for FBM KLCI to deliver its first year of earnings growth following 4 years of flat or earnings contractions. And that's, of course, underpinned mainly by the turnaround in CPO prices, crude palm oil prices. Secondly, there's no more policy rate cuts expected following the most recent one, which should imply better stability in banks' net interest margins going forward. As you all know, right, last year, the FBM KLCI's regional underperformance in 2019, yeah, that was mostly due to bank index falling by about 10%. And also taking note that the country's fiscal balance projections should be sustained and more stable compared to 2019, with relatively stable crude oil prices and Malaysia significantly benefiting from trade diversion. It's a theme that we've been highlighting for over a year, but we're seeing more evidence of that. And trade diversion has, of course, almost doubled first half 19 FDI approvals. And lastly, there is positive support for the ringgit this year coming from the effects of trade diversion, U.S. trade war accord being reached, no matter how feeble it is, higher CPO prices and, you know, crude oil price staying at above 60 ringgit per barrel, which is very close to the forecast made for our fiscal projections. Okay, so back to the Wuhan virus effect. Our base case for FBM KLCI is still unchanged. We are looking for a few percentage point capital appreciation for the index, an appreciably stronger second half scenario to the end of year end. So our target for KLCI is 1650. Bear in mind that our assessment takes into account that FBM KLCI comes from a very low base, meaning that the share price, the index have been hit hard since general election in 2018 due to various changes in policies. So it's kind of like the same effect we've seen or scenario we're seeing during the previous two virus outbreaks, i.e. H1N1 and SARS, where the index was already coming from a low base before the outbreak took place. Now, we've also implicitly assumed that the virus impact would peak within a few months, i.e. post the winter season. However, it is admittedly too early to be guessing when the virus will be contained and the interim impact it would have on the local economy. We're still making our assessments at this point in time. But I did recall that the past SARS outbreak in 2003, there was not much material impact on the Malaysian economy.
All right, so you touched on the fact that this might actually take a few months to resolve, although no one's really... This is still uncertain. Remains to be seen how fast people can develop perhaps a containment or a contagion strategy for the virus. Given the fact that we might need to give it a few months before things start to calm down and things might be stabilized, should authorities be able to come up with a plan, Vincent, does that imply that there's going to be some, that we should expect some a fair amount of volatility in the markets over the next couple of months? And if so, how would we perhaps prepare for that, if that's the case?
Oh, that's for sure, right? So to underline what you said yesterday, for example, right, CPO futures had a limit down, and it's a rare, it's basically a black swan event, right? So such volatility would continue, will persist for the next couple of months. Definitely, probably not in the same proportion of what we've seen yesterday's situation. So going forward, definitely we've been advocating the market to be, investors to be a bit more defensive in the first place. But obviously, the virus situation would have the most impact on the aviation and the tourism-related sectors. So that's where the volatility will sustain. It benefits the glove manufacturers. And again, there's still that potential upside volatility for the sector.
Vincent, you mentioned the glove manufacturers. And when you think about glove manufacturers in Malaysia, we can't ignore the big dog of the room, right? Top Glove, which has aspirations to become a Fortune 500 company. And no doubt the recent outbreak of this virus was also given a bit of upside also to the stock. Can you talk to us about how this might have be changing UOB Kay Hian's outlook on Top Glove moving forward, and if this is a positive boon or whether or not this is going to be a short-lived spike for the share price, if there is such a thing happening right now out in Kuala Lumpur?
Sure. We've actually released a report on the gloves industry today. Mm-hmm. So our take is that obviously the virus outbreak would have a short-term and even potentially like a six-month, nine-month positive effect for the sector. But that's basically that period of momentum you'll be facing, beyond which there could be profit-taking coming through. But our studies in the past couple of outbreaks shows two things. Number one is that the share price performance, which obviously has been very spectacular so far, tends to be aligned to the earnings delivery. So in the previous period, right, the share prices did not fall even though the virus was declared as contained, right? So given that fact, and given that valuations get stretched during periods like this, it seems to us that although the sector will be more vulnerable to short-term profit-taking, it does look like so long as the virus persists, valuations will continue to be stretched, and there's still the possibility that valuations will continue to maybe move up a bit more at this point.
We'll still speak to Mr. Vincent Koo, who's the head of research at UOB Kay Hian Malaysia. I'd like to move on to other sectors now, Vincent. And when we were talking about volatility a while ago, you cited the drop in palm oil prices out in Malaysia as being one of those examples of that volatility also. And it's not just this drop in palm oil prices because of the virus. There also seems to be this growing spat between India and Malaysia that seems to be manifesting itself in the palm oil markets. Now, when you take these two developments, how does this is going to impact the outlook for palm oil prices and ultimately palm oil companies, not just in Malaysia, but those listed in Indonesia and even here in Singapore, especially when we take into account that promising recovery we saw in the fourth quarter last year?
Our take is just still unchanged, right? We've seen a huge pullback in CPO prices, and that's pretty much in line with our expectations, except that, of course, it's, the situation accelerated a bit more. But our take is that we expect CPO prices to remain firm through at least the first quarter of the year, if not through parts of second quarter of this year as well, because of the supply deficit. So with regards to the Indian spat, what that does is that it affects the pricing of Malaysian palm oil, i.e. Malaysian palm oil at some point in time traded at a discount to Indonesian palm oil because of the spat with India. the overall CPO prices, again, has been lifted and will be supported, at least in the next few months, by overall supply deficit in the region.
All right. And finally, Vincent, before we let you go, you've given us a lot of interesting fodder, actually, to think about with Malaysian markets. I want to end with this question. The outlook for the Malaysian ringgit for the year, we actually saw it fairly challenged over 2019 also. But you did mention that central banks seem to be a little less trigger happy with regards to rate cuts also. Is that the same, though, for the Bank Negara Malaysia? And how will this affect the ringgit moving forward, especially for foreign investors who might be worried about, forex depreciation and perhaps forex risks to investments in Malaysian markets?
Okay, our bank has taken the more conservative view that the ringgit may slightly depreciate from current levels, but there are some encouraging signs, right, that hopefully the ringgit will be a lot more resilient. And I made references early on to improving exports, improving FDIs. That's going to obviously eventually translate to better exports. And the real trend that we're seeing, and it's more of a structural trend, is trade diversion that's going to benefit Malaysia in a big way. At the same time, of course, the crude oil prices, so long as they hold above 60 per barrel, Brent crude prices, that would be quite supportive of Malaysia maintaining to its fiscal deficit target. So all in, there is a hopes that the ringgit will continue to be holding at this kind of level, if not just a little bit of depreciation.
Okay. Vincent Koo, the head of research at UOB Kay Hian in Malaysia, we thank you so much for joining us today on Across the ASEAN and sharing some time and your thoughts on where Malaysian markets might be heading given all the developments we've seen in the last few weeks. Appreciate the time. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Welcome, and thanks.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.